Welcome to Break 43. Let's take a break from our breaks and take a moment to just reflect and make some comments on the importance of having not just a small understanding, but a full understanding about our flesh. If we had this full understanding, as you see from the notes that are available, I really don't believe that we would be so harsh in our judgment of other Christians. We understand what's going on. We understand the battle that they have. We understand the battle that Paul had. Thus, we understand the battle that we have. So we wouldn't just be so quick to judge. And I know what people say about judging, but we wouldn't be so hard on others who say they're Christians, who have had the operation of God. And we know that they go through the same challenges and the same battles and losses and wins, various ones, that we have. We just wouldn't be so hard on that. Number two, we would better understand the lost person, those that are not interested, whether they be successful or whether they be losers, whether they be depressed, they're frightened, whether they be encouraged and strong in their atheistic beliefs or whatever. We would still understand why that is. We understand that they're still attached to their flesh. We would have empathy for their situation. Number three, we wouldn't even be so harsh on ourselves when we do follow through with something we know we shouldn't. Whether we're doing something we know we shouldn't, whether we're not doing something we know we should, we go through that same battle that Paul does, and if we understand again the flesh battle, the battle that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, if we understand what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, remember chapter 6 is divided into two parts. There's two questions that are dealt with there. And I hear pastor upon pastor misteach Romans chapter 6 over and over again. Now, you've heard me talk about it. I hope you have an understanding of that Romans chapter 6. It just helps you not be so hard on yourself. Number four, we would be able to get up and get going when we do stumble, when we do trip, when we do make a wrong choice. Instead of putting ourselves down, we just get up and get going. It's forgiven, it's forgotten, it's not imputed. We just keep going. Number five, we wouldn't be deceived by modern Christian preachers who put the guilt on people as the trend for the Bible believer, the Bible pusher, the Bible study Christian, the one that thinks himself to be a strong Christian, wouldn't be so guilt preaching to us about them believing that we should be living a sinless life. And I changed that word from sinless to sinningless. They really believe that they are actually living days of no sin, because Christ gives them the power to be like him, and so we follow his footsteps in Peter, and Jesus told that to the people in the Gospels, and so we should also be following a sinless life. Well, you study Paul, and you realize that in this day and age, in this dispensation of grace, that's not going to happen. And there's a reason in Romans chapter 11 why people think they do and all that stuff, but that's not my intent of this particular break. I will get into that, I think, fairly soon. But it eliminates that guilt that we could have put on us or that we would accept to ourselves when we mess up as such. And it's funny because those people that preach and believe sinlessness don't believe the Scriptures. They don't believe in the King James Bible. They don't believe rightly dividing. But they somehow take those gospel verses and Peter, especially out of 1st and 2nd Peter. And then comes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, even though they put a little love to it in those books. They really put out there the fact that you should be walking a sinningless life. Number six, we will actually know the details, the ingredients that make up our foundation. We will understand the cutting away of our flesh by the operation of God. We will understand what the sword was that he used to do that operation without hands. We will understand what it means to be made dead to sin as compared to those who are dead in sins. Just a quick sidelight here. Notice it says dead to sin. That sin is a noun, not a verb or I think they're called intransitive verbs when they have the word to in front of it, but it's still an action, dead to sin. No, it's dead to sin as a noun, as compared to the lost people being dead in sins, plural. Plural meaning individual sins, dead to sin, noun, as a single object or a single subject. So we would have an understanding about how those things came about. That would give us an assurance of our salvation. It would give us an assurance of Christ's presence in our life. Even when we stumble and when we mess up, we understand these things. And we know that we are still His. Number seven, we would have a pretty decent understanding about the expectation that we could have for a judgment seat of Christ. See, we know that the judgment seat of Christ will be based on Paul's teachings, Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Not this long list of do's and don'ts in the Gospels, especially in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and really especially in 1st, 2nd Peter. We could actually get an advanced view of our judgment seat of Christ, reading Paul, studying Paul's manner of living, his manner of life, and we could tell ourselves how we're doing. How is it going to go? That's a pretty exciting feature if you think about it. So many people who say they're Christians, they know nothing about their future, and they know nothing about what their judgment seat of Christ will be. And that doesn't have to be that way. Number eight, this understanding would help us. Here's the word that most people don't like to talk about, and that's the word repent. Yes, Paul does speak of repenting. He does talk about turning to God from idols, that's repenting, to serve the living and true God. He says in Acts, works meet for repentance. See, there's a difference. There's a different swing to how Paul puts it compared to how it was put beforehand in the Gospels and how it will be put during the tribulation. So repent is an important thing. Number nine, this understanding would give us that hope, that joy, that peace that so many people lack today, even Christians, even Bible-believing Christians. And I'm sorry to say, even Paul-following King James-only Christians seem to miss a joy and a peace that we should have. And I believe a lot of it's because they just don't understand how they were made God's righteousness, and they don't understand or think about, I guess, I don't know, this operation that took place, what Christ did to us regarding sin and sins. It's all been taken care of. And then number 10, we would have an understanding that would make us even more thankful for God's goodness, God's forbearance, His long-suffering, and kindness that He mentions in Titus as compared to the gospel teaching, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the first eight chapters of Acts, and Hebrews, and 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, not in order all of a sudden. And the severity of God in those days is terrible. It really is. But this dispensation of grace, this is where we have God's goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering, and His kindness. And that ought to make us thankful, more thankful. Now, those were 10 quick reasons that I thought of here, just momentarily here, that we should really series up our studies on this flesh, especially our own flesh. So what I did on the notes, as you can see there, print off your notes or just look them off your screen, and to get a solid grasp, those are the verses that I look to. Those are the verses I encourage you to read. Don't just take it from what I said. Don't take my comments, but use those comments to help you dig into those verses and mark them and underline them and commit them to memory if you're young enough and your brain is still capable and it's not full of all this other computer stuff you have to remember and music that we hear. And study those verses. Now, that is not an exhaustive study, but it ought to give you a start to just look at the days we're living in and the joy and the peace that we ought to have if we truly understand our flesh, as I'm sure Paul did, because Paul said he wanted out. But he stuck around. He had to stick around. We're all sticking around. Romans 11:22 tells us why. Because God is not done with the Gentile nation yet. Anyway, enjoy your study and enjoy the notes, and we'll talk to you at the next break.